Morning. Today's daf is Mem Aleph. We are actually on the top of Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph. We're going to go back a little bit to the beginning of the sugya. We started yesterday the fifth parak of the Masechta. Fifth parak of the Masechta opened up with the question of cesarean section, whether that's considered a birth. The baby comes out healthy, the baby's good. So as far as we're concerned, it's a birth. But as far as halacha is concerned, so there are many applications of this principle of whether or not Yotzi Dofen is considered a birth. We're discussing it in the course of Nida, obviously, as it relates to the halachas of Tumah Tahara by the mother. We know that when a woman gives birth, so she's Metame Tumas Leida. And this has been a big discussion of our Masechta. And so, obviously, with a cesarean birth, is that considered Tame Tumas Leida? It's a machlokas HaTanaim. We saw in the Mishnah on Mem Amud Aleph, a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon, whether that this qualifies as a birth or not. The Gemara yesterday, we went through the Gemara together. It's based on Pesukim and Drushas in terms of each of the positions. The Tanakama's position is very clear. It's not a birth. Legabe Toma, right? Yosei Dofen, the Mishnah, the Tanakama says, Ein Yoshin Alav Yemei Toma. You don't sit on it, Yemei Toma. The woman is not Metame Tomas Leida. Is she Tame at all? The answer is actually pretty simple. If there's blood that comes out, I take it back. It's not so simple. But if there's blood that comes out through the stomach, through the incision of the cesarean section. So we're going to talk about that actually today. That's part of our discussion. If there's blood coming out through her natural canal, so then she's Metame Tumas Nida. But I'm not in the business, but if there's no blood that comes out, I don't even know if that's a possibility, but if there's no blood that comes out, so then she's not Metame Tumas Leida, she's not Metame Tumas Nida, she's not Tame at all. Anyway, so that's the opinion of the Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says, no, this qualifies as a Leida. Even though it comes out not through the natural canal, but rather comes out through the stomach and through an incision in the stomach, nevertheless, it's still considered a Leida. And Rabbi Shimon says that vis-a-vis Tumas Leida, she is going to be like a regular woman who gave birth, and she'll be Metame. How long? Depending on a boy or girl. On a boy, it'll be 733, and a girl, it'll be 1466. And yesterday we went through the various drushas that got us to this point, but that's the machlokas in the Mishnah. And then yesterday we dealt with the statement of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said, Rav Yochanan can be found on the bottom of Mem Amud Aleph. Rav Yochanan says that Rabbi Shimon is going to be Mode B'Kachin Sheinu Kadosh. That let's say you have Kachim, carbon, and the baby comes out via cesarean. It doesn't come out through a natural birth. So Rabbi Shimon says that even though vis-a-vis Tumas Leida qualifies as a regular birth, but vis-a-vis Karbanos, this is not a regular birth. It's an irregular birth. Rashi, I didn't cite the Rashi yesterday. A little bit of Charata. But it's not too late. There's today. So Rashi yesterday says it's a mum. It's like a blemish on the baby. And as a result of that, it can't be brought as a Karban. Okay? And not only would the Tanakama hold this position, but even Rabbi Shimon would hold this position. That was the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. And what we did in the rest of yesterday's daf, we're going to continue today, is we defended this position of Rabbi Yochanan. That this is not just a position that would be held by the Chachamim, but even Rabbi Shimon would agree that by Kushan, by Karbanos, the baby comes out via cesarean, it is not eligible to be brought as a Karban. Okay.
If a coin is born, cesarean, is that a moon for him? No.
I would say no.
No.
I would say no.
Why would a baby be? I mean, a mother has a moon. What's a moon?
I hear your question. I definitely hear it. Okay, I hear it.
Because it didn't arrive in a year.
Right?
The baby is not
compromised. Okay, I hear it. Anyway, the Rashi that I cited, Dibra Maschel Sheinu Kadosh, Rashi says, Kedusha Saguf Elo Kishar Kachim Shekadam Mumam Lehekde Sham. Okay. Anyway. All right, with that stated, what we did yesterday was we supported Rav Yochanan, that this is a position that's not just the Chachamim, but it's Rabbi Shimon as well, that when it comes to a carbon, it comes out cesarean. Rabbi Shimon said, that's not Leida. How do I know that? So the Gemara quoted a Braisa yesterday. And the Braisa yesterday, long Braisa, and the Braisa went to the top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, and the Braisa said, look, Mizbech has a certain level of tolerance. Even though there are a host of things that are disqualified, Lagabi the Mizbech, but still, the Mizbech has tolerance. So if you put something up on the Mizbech that shouldn't have gone up there, but you did anyway, so to a certain degree, the Mizbech is able to be Mekabel, and Im Alu, Lo Yerdu. If it goes up, don't bring it down. And the Braisa gave us a long list of things where shouldn't have put it up there to begin with, but if you put it up there, so im alu lo yerdu. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start in the Gemara in yesterday's daf. I know we did this yesterday, but yesterday I ran through it really quickly. So I'm going to go through it a little bit better and a little bit clearer. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, I'm on Mem Amud Beis, three lines from the top. So Ola Ein Li Ela Ola Kshira. So far, what goes up onto the Mizbeach? A qualified Ola, carbon Ola. So Minayin L'Rabbo Shenishchita Belaila. So let's go now. I'm going to, not slowly, but quickly, go through each one of these cases. All these cases are, you shouldn't have put up onto the Mizbeach, but if you did so, it would be okay. So, L'Rabbo Shenishchita Belaila, let's say you shech the carbon at night. Vishnishbach Dama, or let's say the blood spilled. Blood spilling over here is directly from the neck of the animal onto the floor, meaning it didn't and you didn't accept it in a klisharis. If you accept the blood in a klisharis and then it spills onto the floor, that's fine. Meaning you can pick it up in it and bring it to the mizbeach. Vishiyatza dama chutz klaim, or the blood was taken outside of the walls of the azara. Literally klaim or curtains. It's a reference to the Mishkan, but it means the azara. Vahalan, or let's say the blood was not sprinkled before sunset. Or v'hayotze, or the meat of the animal was taken out, v'hatami, or the meat becomes tami, v'hanogstar, or nogstar over here presumably is not making reference to the morning after. Rashi writes over here, v'hanogstar, basar shinitosar chutzuz mano v'hiktiro. The meat was not put up onto the mizbeach before nightfall. And then it was, and so it's no star. In other words, it should have gone up onto the mizbech before nightfall. Vishinishchat,
but that's the same as lan.
Okay, lan probably is a reference to the blood. Rashi says it's a reference to the blood. Okay, vishinishchat chutzes man v'chutzim kamo. The or it was shechted with a machshava ra'a. Cohen had a machshava which he articulated while shechting, which is that the carbon is going to be eaten beyond its prescribed time, or it's going to be eaten beyond its prescribed place. Vishikiblu psulim. Or let's say the Kabbalah Saddam was done by a non-Kohen, or a non-qualified Kohen. Vizarku es hadaman, vizarku es daman, vahanitanim lamala, shenistan lamata, vahanitan lamata, shenistan lamala. Or let's say the blood was sprinkled on the wrong area, meaning that we know that the Mizbeach is separated by the Chuta Sikra, the midpoint where certain bloods need to be sprinkled above the Chuta Sikra and certain bloods below the Chuta Sikra. And we spent a lot of time talking about this back in Masechta Kinim. So, v'hanitanim b'chutz shenasnam b'fnim, v'hanitanim b'fnim shenasnam b'chutz. Also, we know that there are two mizbeachs, one inside of the Beis HaMikdash, one outside. Most of the karbanos are sprinkled on the one outside the Beis HaMikdash. But there are, however, a select few karbanos that are sprinkled inside the Beis HaMikdash. The point is that he had to hit the right mizbeach. V'ha-pesach v'achatzah sheshechten shelo lishman, or the karban pesach or the karban achatzah that was shechted with a wrong intention. Generally speaking, a wrong intention is not going to disqualify a karban. By the Pesach and Chatas, it will disqualify the karban. So here we have a list, a long list of things that are disqualified. And yet, if I put up onto the Mizbeach is Mekabel. Minayin tamalam rezos Torah sa'ola, riba Torah achas l'chol ha'olin, shim alu lo yardum. So the Torah is broadening the scope, in which, even though all these things we mention are disqualifications, nevertheless, if they go up onto the Mizbech, they can remain onto the Mizbech, on the Mizbech. Yachush animar besarova vanirva. And so now, what are the limits? Meaning, are we ready to accept any and all disqualifications onto the Mizbech? And the Braisa continues. Now, keep in mind, by the way, that it's really important. The Braisa actually started before we started this morning, meaning the Braisa really starts on the bottom of the previous Amud, but where we started this morning, Rabbi Shimon Omer. This is all part of the position, Rabbi Shimon. Please keep that in mind. So, Yachol Shani Mar Besarova Vanirva Vamukse Vanevad, Ve'esam Vechir Vakalim Vatrefa Vyotze Dofen. So, what about animals that are, and I'm going to go through this again quickly. Rova Vanirva, an animal involved in bestiality. Muksa, an animal set aside for Avodah Zarah. Nevan, an animal that was actually worshipped as Avodah Zarah. Esnan, animal exchange for prostitution. Mechir, animal exchange for a dog. Hakalayim, animal that was crossbred, that was a result of crossbreeding. Vahatrefa, an animal that is a trefa. Usually we don't know this until after we shecht it. Vyotze Dofen, or an animal that comes out via cesarean. And that's the highlight, meaning if you're going to highlight your Gemara, that's the line to highlight. V'yotzei dofen, tamalam rezos. So the zos is an exclusionary term, meaning that even though we broadened the Mizbech's ability to accept disqualified karbanos, but we're not making it that broad, meaning there is a limitation. The pasuk says zos. So we are going to exclude these. And the obvious question, which the Bryce is about to ask. Okay, so some things are included in the tent, some things are excluded outside the tent. And what is the svara that we're going to include some and exclude others? Umaris l'rabba s'seilu l'hotzi s'seilu. That's Gemara's question. As we are now on the top of Mem Aleph Amad Aleph. Acha shariba. Hakasu v'miyat. Amart marba ani es eilu shaya psulim b'kodesh. Umotzi ani es eilu shalo haya psulim b'kodesh. So if you look at the first list and you look at the second list, and the first list we are including, the second list we're excluding. So the Gemara's explanation, the Bryce's explanation, is that the first list are psulan b'kodesh. Psulan b'kodesh, what exactly does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, so Rashi says it talks about when. Right? Rashi. Mar ba'ani yaseh l'shah yipsulan b'kodesh shalah achar shabal azara ira psulan. That because after they are brought into the azara, then the disqualification occurs. As opposed to the second list of exchange for prostitution and all the other things mentioned over there, including Yotze Dolphin. Well, that occurred before the animal got into the Azara.
They never qualified.
And so therefore, they were never qualified.
The other group was qualified once and then they became disqualified.
Right. That is Rashi. If you want to see more on this discussion of what exactly is the way to distinguish between the first grouping and the second grouping, I mean, the Gemara says it. Right, the first grouping are psulim bekodesh. The second grouping is lo haya psulim bekodesh. But just if you want more clarity on that line of the Gemara, so the Tosfos over here offers a couple of other explanations in terms of what exactly that means. Tosfos divra maschash haya psulim bekodesh. See that Tosfos for more on this topic. Anyway, we go back to our Gemara Ketani Miyan. Now we just read the Brisa, and now the Gemara after seeing the Brisa makes the obvious observation: Yotzei Dofen delom. So a Yotzei Dofen is included in one of the disqualifications that cannot go up onto the Mizbeach and can't stay on the Mizbeach. And the author of that position is Rabbi Shimon. So my love Yotzei Dofen to Kachim. And so when we're talking about Yotzei Dofen, we're talking about Yotzei Dofen of Kachim, presumably. And if all this is true, so we have now proven Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said it in yesterday's daf, and now after having gone over the Brisa, so in the beginning of today's daf, we are now proving this position, Rav Yochanan, seemingly. So I'm Rav Huna Bered, Rav Nasan Lo Yotzei Dofen de Bechor. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Maybe what the Brisa was describing was only the Yotzei Dofen of a Bechor. And maybe that is a disqualification that does not go up onto the Mizbeach. Now remember, by Bechor, we said this yesterday's daf. Everyone's in agreement, Bechor, the Torah says Peter Rechem. There's nothing to deliberate. There's nothing to discuss. We know that by Bechor, it has to come out through the natural natural pathway, the vaginal canal. And there's nothing to talk about. Maybe that's what the Bryce is talking about. If that's true, we no longer have a proof for Rav Yochanan. So Bechor mi peterechem nafka. So the Gemara says, okay, but I don't need an additional drusha for Bechor just by virtue of the fact that the Torah says peterechem. That's all I need. The Bryce over here is giving me drushas of Zos, and it's a different drusha. So I don't need that drusha. Elamai de Kachim. So again, the Gemara goes back and says, okay, so it's talking about Kachim. So the Gemara says, it's really talking about Kachim? Go back to yesterday's daf. Me'imo imo nafka. We had a drasha for Kachim yesterday. Meaning, so if we're really talking about Kachim, which you're asserting, which is good, because then it proves Rav Yochanan, but if you go back to yesterday's daf, and the Amud Aleph of yesterday's daf, we had a drasha that got us to this point. It was Gzeir Shava of imo imo. So why does this Bryson now use a different drasha? So hi, Mike. The Gemara says, we're right. Well, that's not literally what the words hi mai mean, but the Gemara says, we're right. Imar bishlam dekachim hainu deitzrochei trei krai. Chad labehem es chulun da'ole derech dofen va'akteshei v'chad labehem es kachim da'ole derech dofen. So we're right. It's talking about kachim. And I know there are two drashas. There's a drasha of yesterday, of imo imo, and the drasha of zos. And both drashas are necessary. One is for an animal which is chulun. It gave birth to its young via cesarean, and then you were makdish it, and that's disqualified because it came out via cesarean. And the second drasha is where the mother's a carbon, and it comes out via cesarean. So we have two drashas, both circumstances it comes out via cesarean, It's just a question of whether the mother was a carbon or not a carbon. But it comes out to the same point. Now, the next six words of the Gemara, so Rashi says, take them out, because they don't belong in this discussion. Elsewhere, we have a question of whether a developing fetus inside of a carbon, the mother's a carbon, whether it obtains its kedusha while developing or only after it's born. But for the purposes of this discussion, it's irrelevant. And Rashi says, therefore, take it out. And Ella, so skipping a line of the Gemara, Ella yamarta bechor mi peterechem nafka. But if you want to say that the bechor is learned from peterechem, so hachinami, I'm sorry, Ella yamarta bechor mi peterechem nafka hachinami mistarbe mizikani harova vanirva vamukta vanevad vaklaim hani mehacha nafka mehasam nafka. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you why I know we're right, because look at the other disqualifications that are mentioned at the end of the Braisa. Animals that were involved in bestiality, animal that was involved in avodah zara, a crossbred animal. We know we have other drushas for those animals. Mina behema laotzei arova v'nirva, the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. The Torah says some animals can be brought, but not all animals, to exclude animals involved in bestiality. Mina bakar laotzei aneva, mina tzon laotzei amuksa. And we have the drusha of mina bakar. We have the drusha of mina tzon, excluding different types of animals involved in idolatry. Either nevad, it was worshipped, or mukta was set aside. Minatzon lahotzi es anogach. And I'm sorry, minatzon lahotzi es anogach. And the minatzon is telling me that animals that was a, shur shenagach, or a tzon shenagach, right? Sheep are not normally, you know, killer animals. But if the animal killed somebody, so they're disqualified to be brought as a carbon. And visu, kalai mehacha nafka measa nafka. And crossbred animals, it's not from the Zos that we quoted at the beginning of Shir today. It's from Shor Okesav O'Ez. Shor Pratla Klaim, O'Ez Pratla Nidma. We know that a Shor has to be a purebred. It cannot be a crossbred. So we have a Joshua for that as well.
But a what animal cannot be brought?
Yeah. But a what?
Muad animal cannot be brought, only a Tom.
The Tom and Muad, no, Tom and Muad is for, we're not talking about Nezek over here. We're talking about an animal that killed. So an animal that killed is if a shor shenagach, meaning it killed somebody, so then it can't be brought. So the ela itzrich trei kri, chad lebehemas chulim and chad lebehemas kachim. So the Gemara says, okay, so what are the purposes of the two drashas? The drasha, one drasha is for chulim, the other one's kachim. So hachanami itzrich trei kri, meaning, look, I need two drashas for all these because in all the drashas that we quoted, right, Prat Lenidma, Prat Leklayim, all the drushas that we just cited. So they're in addition to the Zos that we have over here. Why is there a need for two drushas? So the Gemara says, because one is talking about a regular animal, and then we're talking about where it gave birth, and because it was involved in any of these activities, therefore it's disqualified. And a secondary drusha, our drusha of Zos, where the animal itself was a carbon, and then it underwent any of these disqualifications we just described. So we have two drushas, one's for chulin and the other one's for kachim. Same thing over here, meaning by our discussion of Yotzei Dofen. Yes, we had a drusha of Yotzei Dofen in yesterday's daf of Imo. Yes, we have a secondary drusha of Zos and our Gemara over here. Why do I need two drushas? One's for kachim, the other one's for chulin. Okay, so the Gemara has finished this discussion, and so therefore, to recap, we have actually proven Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that Rabbi Shimon says that when it comes to a leda, a human giving birth to a baby via cesarean. So Rabbi Shimon says that is disqualifies a leda. Again, Tanakhama disagrees, but Rabbi Shimon says it qualifies as a leda. Rav Yochanan says, but even Rabbi Shimon would agree that when it comes to kachim, and the baby is born via cesarean, and even if the mother herself was a karban, nevertheless, it's a disqualification, the baby cannot be used. And even Rabbi Shimon would agree. And over the course of yesterday's daf and half of today's daf, we have proven this point because we saw a braisa together, quoting Rabbi Shimon, disqualifying a cesarean baby. And so it sounds like, yes, that statement of Rabbi Yochanan is correct. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara continues now. We're on the bottom of Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. Hamakasha Shoshiyam and Vyatsa Vlad Derech Dolphin. Hareze Yoledes Bezov. Okay. A woman, we're back to Dam Koshi. So as we've discussed already numerous times in the previous perek, and we're going to bring it up a little bit today, and that is that labor bleeding is not ziva bleeding. And so if a woman is experiencing labor bleeding, so that does not qualify as zava, she is tahor, she's tahora. To be a little bit more detailed, We already talked this back in the fourth perek. It's not going to be a matara from dam nida. If in fact it's nida, if it's during her yemei nida, she'll be tamea. But if it's her during her yemei ziva, she will be tahora. Okay. And how do I know it's labor bleeding? So it's towards the end of her pregnancy. And remember, we spent a lot of time talking about when exactly that time frame is towards the end of her pregnancy. Three opinions amongst the Tanaim, and there has to be pain, and there cannot be any relief from the pain between the time that she's bleeding and the time that she has a baby. If there's relief from the pain, so then it does not qualify as labor bleeding. And we also spent a lot of time talking about how much relief from the pain does she need. What is the time period? 24 hours, a night and a day. There was a third opinion, Rabbi Chanina. Okay, so a lot to discuss, but for our purposes right now, we'll say it nice and simple. So labor bleeding is not going to be metame her. Hamikasha shoshiyamim v'yatza derech vlad v'yatza vlad derech dofen. Harei ze yilaz bezov. And so we are now going to put together the previous perek and our perek. Let's say there is labor bleeding. Okay, it is at the end of her pregnancy. It's right before she has the baby. There's pain associated with it. It's 3 days during her yemei ziva, but there's pain, and then the baby comes out. But here's the variable. The baby does not come out naturally. The baby comes out via cesarean. And so now, does this bleeding qualify as labor bleeding, or does it qualify as just bleeding? And if it were just regular bleeding, so then obviously she'd be a Zava Gadola. If it's labor bleeding, so then she's not a Zava Gadola. So that's the question on the table. And what is it really going to come down to?
She's saying is it labor or not?
So it's going to come down to the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. And that's exactly what the Braisa says. So according to the Tanakhama, she's Yoledes Bezov, meaning the baby did not come out via the natural pathway. It came out via cesarean. And so therefore, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, this is not a Leda. And so therefore, what's that bleeding then? If this is not a Leda, so it's Ziva bleeding. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Zu Yoledes Bezov. And Rabbi Shimon says it's not Yoledes Bezov, because Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that the Leda qualifies as a Leda, even though the baby came out via cesarean. Okay, so we have the Machlokas Hatanaim just playing itself out in this scenario. That part was easy. Here's part of the Braisa that's not easy. V'dam hayotze misham, and blood comes out from there. So there, that's a pronoun. Whenever you run into a pronoun, so it's a problem, because from where? Okay, let's leave that question right now open-ended. V'dama yotze misham, tame. The blood that comes out from there is tame. Rabbi Shimon matar, and Rabbi Shimon says that blood is tahor. Okay, so there really are two questions to ask over here. That blood came out from there. Okay, where's there? And another question that we can ask is, when did this blood come out? During the actual delivery? Before the delivery? Not clear. Really unclear. Now, Bishlam Aresha, Rabbi Shimon latame, Rabban latamayhu. So the Gemara points out what we already pointed out, which is the beginning of the Braisa is easy to understand. She's experiencing labor bleeding, 3 days of it, immediately prior to her delivering. She then delivers, but the difference is she delivers via cesarean. So is that bleeding considered Leda bleeding or Ziva bleeding? If it's Leda bleeding, it's what's called Dam Koshi. If it's not labor bleeding, so then it's Dam Ziva. And that is a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. And it ties in exactly with the machlokas that opened up our perek. That part's easy. Here's the part that's not easy. Ela Seifa b'mai pligi. What about the second part of the Braisa, talking about blood coming out from there? What's there? And what's the machlokas? So the Gemara is going to give a couple of suggestions of what the second part of the Braisa may mean. So Amar Avina Kegon Shiyatza Vlad Derech Dofen Vidam Derech Rechem. Okay. So our first attempt is going to be Ravina, and Ravina makes the following suggestion. That maybe we're talking about the case where the Vlad comes out Derech Dofen, so the baby is born via cesarean. I'm sorry, even before I start with Ravina. Sorry. I take back the fact that we started with Ravina. Okay? Strike that from the record. I can actually erase it, but that would require technology and technological know-how. Okay, anyway. Let's take a look at Rashi. El Seifa b'mai pligi. The bottom Rashi on the Amud. Ha'leik el amemar dam hayotze imo derech dofen yetame kedam aleidam. Rashi says, let's reject the following suggestion, because the Gemara rejects it, and Rashi says, and I'll tell you why we're going to reject it. We're not talking about the blood that comes out with the baby via cesarean. Okay? In other words, cesarean is surgery, right? You're opening up the abdomen, and you're taking the baby out through the abdomen. So, and obviously, as surgery, there's going to be bleeding. But Rashi says that's not what is even open for discussion. And I'll tell you why. Dim kein ibchami ba'ilei. Rabbi Shema Matami Damar Vladhu. Because then, if that were true, then let's think about what each position would be. What would Rabbi Shimon say about that blood that comes out through the abdominal wall? Well, if the baby is considered a birth, so what's that bleeding? That's considered bleeding associated with the baby. And that would, right? And that is, that's Dam Leida. And the and what would the Chachamim say? That what is that bleeding coming out of the abdominal wall? That's called surgery, right? Right. So, right. Rabbi Shimon would be mesaved to matame damer vladu vechachamim matarim. And if you look at the brisa, Rabbi Shimon says it's tara, and the chachamim say it's tame. So it can't be talking about the blood that's coming out through the abdominal wall, because then the positions would be reversed. Elavande afila Rabbi Shimon lohavi elakadama maka. And so it must be that according to Rabbi Shimon, even though the birth that comes out through this via cesarean through the abdominal wall is considered a birth, but he's going to agree that any blood that comes out through the abdominal wall is just, it's surgery. It's just bleeding that comes out via an opening in the body. Damamake. V'hadam Rabbi Shimon ma'asis and yoshim alay yemei tuma mishum v'lakam v'lo mishum dam. Now, I know in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says that she's tameya, yeah, because it's a leida. It's tumas leida. It has nothing to do with the bleeding. Okay. So we are, before we even go with the Gemara suggestions, we're rejecting the idea that we're talking about the blood that's coming out via the abdominal wall because of the surgery. Because even Rabbi Shimon would admit and agree that that's not damnida. Okay, so now that we know what we rejected, so now we have to, so what are they describing and what are they debating? I'm a Ravina, so now we're going to begin. So Ravina tells us, we are on the bottom of the Amud, Kigon Shiyatzav La Derech Dofen. So the baby came out via cesarean, and vidam derech rechem, and the blood that comes out now comes out derech rechem. Okay? And so while surgery is happening, and while the baby is being extracted through the abdominal wall, so then she's also happens to be bleeding. Now, when is this blood coming out? This is not during childbirth. Right? Rashi writes over here on the top of the Amud, vidam derech rechem, bishloshes yemei hakoshi kodem leida. We're talking about the bleeding that's coming out prior to her delivering this baby via cesarean. And so, now, what is going to be the machlokus over here? V'azda Rabbi Shimon, back to the Gemara. V'azda Rabbi Shimon latame v'rabban latamayu. And so now, we understand. Meaning, that according to Rabbi Shimon, because that baby qualifies as a leida, so the pre-birth bleeding that the woman is experiencing is called dam koshi. That's labor bleeding. And according to the Chachamim, the pre-birth bleeding that comes out of her, that's considered bleeding. In other words, that's regular bleeding that is associated with, in this case, not Nida, but rather Ziva. But still, it's Ziva. She's a Zava. That would be the Machlokas as explained by Ravina. Nice explanation, but it's lacking. And the Gemara points this out. So, Maskal of Rav Yosef, Chada Dahin Resha. So Rav Yosef says, it's a nice pshat, but number one, you know what the brisa now has done? Is it's turned into a redundancy. That already was the first point of the brisa. The brisa was making two separate points. And now the way you're explaining the brisa, the second part of the brisa is really just a repetition of the first part of the brisa. That's one. Va'od mishum vlad mashma. And on top of that, again, a careful reading of the brisa, v'dam hayotze misham, it sounds like, no, we're not talking about the pre-birth bleeding, because it's not the way it sounds like in the brisa. It sounds like this bleeding that we're describing is the one associated with the actual birth itself. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, so I'd rather give a different shot. Rav Yosef says, I'd rather give a different shot. Ella Amar Rav Yosef, so he does. And so here we are now with our second round of possible explanations of what is meant in the second part of the brisa. Kigon Shiyatzav Lad V'dam Derech Dofen. So we are talking about bleeding that's coming out through the abdominal wall that was opened up. So the surgeon opens up the stomach, extracts the baby, and blood comes out as well. And here we have a machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and the Chacham and whether that blood is tamei or tahor. But it has nothing to do with the leida, as we already explained, and Rashi already taught us. This has nothing to do with the leida. So what does this have to do with? Mekor mekam tamei kemiflegi. And so here we are again discussing the issue of whether the uterus becomes now an incubator of tumah. Okay, I get credit for this for the phrase. I don't know what that credit's going to do for me, but the whether or not the uterus is considered an incubator of tumah. Mar sever mekom mekom tumah, mar sever mekom mekor mekom tahor. Look, this blood that comes out now through the abdominal wall was certainly inside the uterus. So, is she the mother Anida? The answer, of course, is no. Is she a Zava? And again, the answer is going to be no. Because in order for the mother to be Anida or a Zava, there has to be a discharge. And discharge has to come out via the regular pathway, her canal. And this blood didn't. However, this blood was in the uterus. And so therefore, uterine blood, even though it comes out via a different pathway, meaning there here, it was surgery was performed, and it came out via another pathway. Is the blood going to be a source of tuma because it was in the makor? It was in the uterus. And this is the question of makor makom tamer, makor makom tahor. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, Rabban Savri makor makom tame. I'm reading the Rashi. Hilkach tipas dam mitam'a. So as far as she, the mother, is concerned, the mother is not going to be tamea ziva or tamea nida, because again, this doesn't serve as a regular discharge. However, because the blood was in the uterus, the blood is going to be a source of tuma. And Rashi spells it out. This isn't a discharge. Latame esaisha tuma shiva, and the mother's not going to be matame tuma shiva. It's not a discharge. However, miu tipa atzma mitama b'maga. But as far as the drop of blood is going to be matame. It's going to be matame other things through contact. Mishum did not give him a core because it touched the makor, or makor makomotame, and the makor mikomotame. Again, using my language, it's an incubator of tumah. It creates the tumah. So this is a machlokus that we've seen numerous times throughout the Masechta, and according to Rabbi Yosef, that's the debate that occurs in the second part of the Braisa.
There's a Leda is relevant.
Right, correct. Right, it is. Excellent point. Meaning the later to the second part of the Braisa is perfectly inconsequential to the discussion of whether the blood's Tamei or Tahor. Amr Shlakish. Yes, let's pick it up where we left off in the Gemara. Amr Shlakish, a different Matame Bedam Matame Beisha, a different Matar Bedam Matar Beisha. So Reish Lakish says, well, within this Machlokus now, if you say the blood's Tamei, you're saying the mother's also Tamei. If you're saying the blood's Tahor, you're saying the mother's Tahora. Rav Yochanan Amar, no. Rav Yochanan says, no, that's not right. Afla Divra Matame Bedam Matar Beisha. Rav Yochanan says that no, even if I subscribe to the viewpoint that the blood is tamei, the woman, the mother, is tahora. Now it's funny, position Rav Yochanan. I know we already spelled it out within Rashi, but Rashi was obviously explaining it according to Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara now is going to defend Rav Yochanan's position. V'azor Rav Yochanan tamei damer Rav Yochanan mishum Rav Shimon bar Yochai minayin she'ein isha tamei ashiyetze madva derech ervasa. The only thing that qualifies as a discharge, making the mother tamea. Now I say mother over here, I really mean woman. Meaning, we're not focusing on the actual discharge that comes out. We're talking about the person experiencing the discharge. So over here, it only is going to be where the blood comes out, derech ervasa. It has to come out through the natural canal. Shenemar visha sheishkav esisha dava, vigila es ervasa, es mikora ha'ara. So we are in Parshas Kedoshim, and the Torah describes a man having relations with a woman, and a woman who is Anida. And the Gemara, and why is the Gemara putting the, why is the Torah putting these 2 points together? Malamed sheinisha tameh ashiyetze madva derech ervasa. It means to say that the woman is only going to be considered Anida when the blood is emerging out of her body through the natural canal, meaning in the same pathway in which the man would go in, that would be the same way that she would become Anida as the blood exits. So that means to say that even if it's uterine blood, but it's exiting the body in any other manner, the woman is not going to be a nida. As far as the blood is concerned, the blood may be tameh. That will be contingent on the debate we just learned together of makor makom tameh and makor makom tahor. But vis-a-vis the woman herself, she is not a ro'eh, a ro'ah. She is not a discharger of blood until it goes out through the irregular canal. Okay. Amar Reish Lakish. Okay. Not new topic, but. Okay, close the book on this chapter. So far, in the course of today, just a quick recap, a quick summary. We so far in the first Amma today supported Rabbi Yochanan's thesis that even according to Rabbi Shimon, if an animal has a baby via cesarean, that will be disqualified. And even though Rabbi Shimon says that by a human that's considered leda, by an animal that's considered a blemish, and it cannot be offered as a carbon. And in the first half of today's daf, we supported the theory of Rav Yochanan. Okay. Number two, a woman who is, while having a cesarean, also experiencing bleeding. So, what is the story regarding the pre-delivery bleeding, right? The labor bleeding. Does that qualify as labor bleeding or not? That's the machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. And the second part of the Bryce talks about the actual blood. The blood that comes out during the delivery, during the cesarean delivery, is that blood going to be tame? Machlokus in the Bryce between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. And as the Gemara now has just finished explaining, it has to do with the issue of Makor Makomo Tame or Makomo Tahor. And finally, Rav Yochanan says that even if I subscribe to Makor Makomo Tame, a woman is not Anida until uterine blood comes out through the regular canal. Next topic in the Gemara. Amar Shlakish. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah. Makor Shenekar V'nafal La'aretz Tameya. Let's say some of the actual uterine wall, not the blood that lines the wall, but the actual uterine wall, so some of it dislodges and falls out. So the woman would be Temeah. How do I know that? Shenemar. Pasuk in Yecheskel. It's an unusual source to teach us a halacha regarding whether a woman is or is not a nida. But the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Yan hashofech nechush asech v'tigli evasech. So the nechush asech, understood in this context, is the makor. It's talking about the uterus. Meaning if a part of the uterus actually comes out of her, so vitagli ervasech. So she becomes now tameah. Now, she becomes tameah exactly lamai. Elam latoma shiva, you mean to say that she's going to be a nida? Well, that can't be. Right? Let's go back to what we learned earlier in the Masechta. In order for a woman to become a nida, there has to be bleeding. It has to be blood. Damar rachmana velo chaticha. And if it's the actual part of the actual uterus itself that comes out of her, so that's not going to make her a nida. So admittedly, the Pasuk in Yecheskel speaks about a tumah, but it's not tumas nida. So ela l'tumas erev. So the Gemara says, it's talking about tumas erev, meaning she'll be tumah for just a day. So I'm Rav Yochanan Mekorshi Zia. Okay, period. Okay, so right, a bit of an unusual circumstance where if part of the uterus itself were to come out of her, so she's mitame tamaserif. Amar of Yochanan Mekorshi Zia Kishtei Tipi Margolis Tamea. Let's say there are two. It's hard to describe because, quite frankly, I don't know what I'm talking about. But two white pearls that are discharged out of her, so that will be Tamea. And the Gemara seeks clarification on this statement of Rav Yochanan. What does that mean? So lama ilam l'tama shiva. So are we talking about where now she's going to be a nida? That can't be. Chamisha damim tamein be'isha v'sula. First of all, in order for a woman to become a nida, it has to be bleeding. And not just bleeding, but it has to be blood. It has to be red blood. And as we already learned earlier in the Masechta, not even all shades of red. Only five shades of red. Actually, four shades of red, one shade of black. But it can't be that these white pearls are going to be make her a tmeya nida. Okay, ela l'tumas erev. So it must be tumas erev v'tavka tarti avachada ema me'alma asya. When you see two drops coming out of her, two clear drops, it for sure came out of her. But if it's one clear drop, didn't necessarily come from her body, may come from another source. So she means metame tumas erev. Why is she metame tumas erev? So it must be because the Rav Yochanan subscribes to the viewpoint of Mekor Makomo Tameh. Again, this idea that the Mekor, the uterus, is an incubator of Tuma. And so therefore, these drops that were inside of the Mekor are therefore going to be Tameh. And so she came into contact with them as they emerge. And that's why she's Metame Tumas Erev. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of most of today's daf. We'll start the next sugya. We'll stop towards the bottom. Kol HaNashim Metamim Beveis Achitzon. A point that we already made in the beginning of the Masechta, but the truth of the matter is that the Mishnayos never spelled it out until the beginning of the fifth parak, meaning yesterday's daf. A woman is going to be a nida when the blood leaves the uterus and enters into the canal. The blood does not have to actually emerge from her body in order to be a nida. Now, we assume that the blood, as it leaves the uterus and enters the canal, it's going to exit immediately. And I know a big part of the beginning of the Masechta was, is that absolutely correct and true? That it immediately leaves the canal and exits her body. And that becomes a question of, do we go back at all retroactively and say that maybe the blood lingered sometime in the canal, and therefore, even though the blood only emerges later, but maybe she was Tamea earlier, and do we go back retroactively? Machlok is between Shammai and Hillel, and then the middle position, which is the Chachamim, we go back 24 hours. But all that is based on the assertion and the assumption that a woman is tamea when the blood leaves the uterus and enters into the canal. The Mishnah in the beginning of the fifth perek spelled it out clearly, right? Kol hanashim, that's yesterday. I'm going back to yesterday's daf. I'm rereading the Mishnah. Kol hanashim etamim beveis achitzon. So when it goes out to the beis achitzon, the Gemara's discussion starts off in the following place. Kol hanashim etamim beveis achitzon, hainio beis achitzon. Okay, and so as a legal work, which is what the Gemara is, and so we want to know what exactly is the beis achitzon, meaning when we're describing the canal and the area within the canal in which once the blood enters into the canal from the uterus, she becomes tamea. So what area are we describing exactly? So Amrish Lakish Kol Shetinokas Yoshevas Venira. So the Gemara starts off with a description of, well, if we can imagine a tinokas, meaning, first of all, for a man, it's to be perfectly unsanua, unless, of course, it is a medical professional, but it's, of course, beyond unsanua. For a man to be looking in the area, the Gemara elsewhere talks about the effects, the ill effects of a man looking at a at covered areas of a woman. It's a Gemara in Brachos. We're going to get to it not so long from now. But anyway, we're describing it now. I'd say medically, but yes, we're describing it medically, but we're describing it just to know the halacha in terms of when does she become a nida. So the Gemara starts off where if a woman were to sit and she'd be sitting, and the exposed part that is exposed while she's sitting, so that's what we're describing. So Amalei Rav Yochanan also makum galui. Rav Yochanan says, no, that's not what we're describing. That's a makum galui, meaning we're talking about the blood entering just to the beginning part of the canal. Beginning, I'm saying, from the cervix, and you're describing an area that is much more exterior, and you're describing such an exterior portion that's galui. So galui hu etzel sheretz. In fact, if a sheretz were to come into contact with that part of her body, she'd be tamea. Now, we know that in order for a woman to be tamea, the sheretz has to come into contact with an exposed portion of her body. I'm telling you, that's an exposed portion of her body. So, Alam Rav Yochanan ad bein ha-shinayim. So, Rav Yochanan says that we're talking to the bein ha-shinayim. Now, presumably, the Gemara over here, it means, it's not totally clear, but maybe it's talking about the entrance of the cervix. Okay? In other words, that's the area that the Gemara describes over here as the bein ha-shinayim. Perhaps that's what it means. Ibailu bein ha-shinayim kilafinim u'kilachutz. Okay, so whenever we get to borders, this is a classic question of the Gemara. Fine. So if it's an area exterior, just the exterior, posterior of the Bein HaShinayim, and again, I'm guessing that's talking about the cervix. So if it's the area of the canal that's just posterior from that area, so that clearly is considered the Beis HaChitzon, and she's going to be a Nida. And if it's an area interior of the Bein HaShinayim, so she's not yet a Nida. Okay, and so this is a classic discussion of the Gemara. What about the area that is between the Bein HaShinayim? So Tashma didni Rabbi Zakkai ad Bein HaShinayim atzmam kilifnim. Okay, so the Brisa spells it out, yeah, that the Bein HaShinayim area is considered kilifnim. Ben Masnis and Tana, the Brisa tells us makum disha. In a Brisa, it describes it another way. The makum disha, my makum disha, I'm Rav Yehuda makum shashamish dash. So in the area within the canal where when the man is penetrating, so that area is considered the Beis HaChitzon. And so once blood enters into that area, that's considered the Beis HaChitzon, where she will be a Nida. Tana Rabbanan. Biv Sarah melamed shemetame bifnim kebechutz. Okay, the Biv Sarah teaches me that as long as the blood has exited the uterus and entered into the canal, that is going to be the point that's going to be metame her. I know we said it already in our Mishnah. The Gemara quotes the Brisa. The Brisa over here, what added feature do we have in the Brisa? Drasha. The Brisa actually quotes the Pasuk. The Ainli El Anida. Now, so far, we know this to be so when it comes to a Nida. Zava Minayin. How do I know that the same thing is going to be true regarding a Zava? So in other words, the blood is discharging, not during her Yemei Nida, but rather during her Yemei Ziva. And how do I know it's the same Halacha? Notably, that the woman will be a Zava once the blood leaves her uterus and enters into the canal. Tamalamar Zava Bivsara. So we have another Pasuk that describes where it flows into her Basar. And again, Basar in this context means the Beis HaChitzon. Polat Teshechva Zera Minayin. What about Polat Teshechva Zera? Meaning, so after having relations with her husband, so now some of the Zera is emerging out of her. And same thing. The woman is going to be Tamea, not even when it exits, but as long as it goes into the canal, so then she's going to be Tamea. Tamalamar Yiyya. Yeah. The Gemara assumes that some of it goes into the makor, And then and then some of it flows back into the canal. That's the Gemara's assumption. You're right. In other words, if it stays in the Beis Achitza, then you're absolutely right. So Tamar Lomar Yiyah. Now Rabbi Shimon Amar Dai Kabbala. Now Rabbi Shimon says, wait 1 second. I don't agree on this last point of Sheikh Vazera. Rabbi Shimon says, let's look at it from the perspective of the man. As we already established, the Mishnah taught us yesterday that when it comes to a man and his discharges, so the man is not tummy until it actually exits his body. So if that's true regarding the Sheikh Vazera in a man, so Rabbi Shimon says, it'd be no different than the woman. Meaning once the man has inserted the Zera into the woman, and now the Zera exits the woman, a woman is only going to be Tameya only when it actually exits, because it should be no different than the man. Ma bo Allah, ena matamea ashetetze mitoma l'chutz, af hi, ena matamea ashetetze tomasa l'chutz. Okay, so this is the position of Rabbi Shimon, that when it comes to the Sheikh of Zera, he agrees that when it comes to Nida, when it comes to Zava, so all the blood needs to do is just leave the uterus and go into the canal. The canal is the Beis Achitzon, and she'll be Tamea. He agrees. But when it comes to Sheikh Vatzera, so Rabbi Shimon argues with the Tanakama that the Zera, according to the Tanakama, same story regarding the Zera. Once the Zera is in the Beis Achitzon, she's Tamea. But but Rabbi Shimon says no. Since the Zera by a man is only Matam, the man, when it exits the man's body, so the same thing is true regarding the Zera. We'll stop here tomorrow. We pick it up, explain the Machlokus better between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon.